I'm just going to warn you now that you heard that was a very small passage. I'm going to dip into last week's passage and next week's passage. Apologies to whoever's preaching next week, but I'll try not to do too much on that. But this is a letter. We know it's a letter to the church at Philippi. If I wrote a letter and you took something, a little snippet of it, it might be a little bit out of context. And so I apologise for that in advance. Let's pray, because we need that, and I definitely need that. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts would be pleasing to you. I pray that this evening none of us would go away from this place without having encountered Jesus Christ. I pray that you would speak to us by your word and that we would respond in repentance and faith and trust in the amazing, incredible God that you are. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. So the passage this evening is on the humility of Christ. I was in a discussion with some people a couple of years ago, and the topic of discussion was, is God humble? I don't know if it's something that you've ever really thought about, but it got quite heated because there are a lot of people there who love Jesus, who love the Bible, and know a lot more about the Bible than I do. And there were all sorts of opinions on, is God humble? Can God be? But God is, you know, he's all powerful. He's, you know, created. How can he be humble? I'm of the opinion that Jesus is God manifest in human form. He is the visible image of the invisible God. And this passage shows us that Jesus was humble. And therefore, I must deduce, and you can argue with me about it afterwards, that God is humble. But I'm not knocking the people I had the debate with, because I think we have very odd ideas of what humility is. And if you take certain ideas of humility, then you'd have to say, well, no, God isn't humble in that way. But we have to look back to the person who created humility in the first place to see what true humility is. But I think we have a very British idea of humility. I love being British. I think everyone who knows me knows that. I love it. But even I will admit that our idea of humility is just so wrong. You know, we're there. This isn't meant to be, I'm not going to racial stereotype here, but the USA, okay, football, I believe that we will win, right, us, 30 years of hurt, never stop me dreaming, brilliant, right, yeah, you see the difference, don't you? We always downplay ourselves. It's actually 50 years next year, which is disgusting, but anyway, we'll sort that out, won't we? We're all about the self-deprecation. That's what our idea of humility is. You know, you're on Instagram. If you're a teenage girl especially, not looking in any direction whatsoever, you see the photo, oh, babe, you look gorgeous, oh, stunning. Nah, that's you, mate. You're the stunning one. Oh, babe, your face was just carved by an angel. Nah, I mean, I look like a damp fish, actually. Like, you are the one whose face was carved by an angel. And, you know, we can laugh about it, but we self-deprecate. That's what we do. Perhaps for those who aren't so familiar with the teenage girl Instagram culture as I am, we can do it with anything. You know, you might serve on refreshments or do something at church, give a bit of extra time, and someone say, oh, thank you so much for doing that. And you're like, well, I'm no Penny Potter, you know, like, do you know what I mean? And it may be in your achievements. It's sort of like based on justice as well. You know, someone gets a good grade. Oh, but it's not as good as so-and-so. Oh, you know, there's always the next step. You know, I've got my degree, but the master's is the next step. Oh, no, let's go on to the PhD. Nathan, nice one. And we sort of define ourselves in relationship to others in this self-deprecating way, and we call that humility. And honestly, that's just not what humility is. And I think we need to get back to what is beautifully demonstrated to us in Christ's humility in order to begin to understand what is going on with humility. And so let's jump into our passage. I'd love it if you could follow with me. I'll just read verses 5 to 8 again for now. My translation is a tiny bit different from the one that was read, but I hope you'll forgive me for that. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage or grasped, held on to. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, excuse me, even death on a cross. This passage is classic. I was speaking at a conference the other week, and suddenly I heard out of my mouth coming, "Oh, Philippians 2, classic passage." I had nothing to say about it. It just came up for some reason. But we love Philippians 2. But it's actually pretty scandalous, if you think about it. Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, grasped, held on to. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. I'm just going to let that linger for a moment. But he made himself nothing. He had everything. He was everything. He is everything. But he made himself nothing, taking on the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. I've got a real bee in my bonnet, so I apologise if I've had this rant to you before. But we teach our children the nativity story, and it's all very cute, and it's all lovely. And you've got, don't get me wrong, I love the nativity service, it's brilliant. But you've got your cute little sheep, and you've got your lovely little family with a new baby. You think, you know, Paul, Tanya, Seth and Orla, you know, you think nice, snug kind of family. And that's just so far from what the nativity is actually about. The nativity is God becoming a baby. Not even a man, a baby. Coming out of, you know, a young girl, questionable fatherhood, in a stable. It was probably warm, but it probably stunk. Not particularly dignified for God. And then he has to learn, God has to learn to walk and talk. It's scandalous. It's ridiculous. It's degrading. It's humiliating. Christ, God, making himself nothing. But it doesn't just end at this scandalous sort of virgin birth, which people couldn't get their minds around, which of course we can't get our minds about. That doesn't happen. But he then grew up. And he did things like hang out with lepers and touch them. Like, who does that? He hung out with prostitutes and tax collectors. At that time, who did that? People with not very good reputations, that's who did that. But this is God. Associating himself with people who society shunned and society thought were unclean. He talks to the adulterous woman. And then, on his journey to Jerusalem, he is despised, rejected. He's abandoned by those who are closest to him. We read in the passage that Grace read for us that he was despised and rejected by men. There was nothing in him that would attract us to him. He was degraded. He was humiliated. This is God in human form, being degraded and humiliated in this way, and then dies a criminal's death. It's scandalous. is absolutely scandalous, and it almost sounds heretical, saying that this is God. This person, Jesus Christ, is God, and yet he is so humbled. He humbles himself. Why? Why on earth would God do that? Why, if I was God, I don't think I'd do that. Well, I would, because I'd be God. But if I decided who God was, I wouldn't do that. I'd just chill out in heaven. He didn't need humanity. The Trinity is sort of self-sufficient. God doesn't need us. I wouldn't have done it. Why would he do this? This is where I have to leap into the passage from last week. Therefore, if you've had any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind, and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. True humility flows from love. The most incredible love that you will ever experience. Christ's humility is scandalous, but is beautiful because it is born out of such an incredible love. We sort of understand the concept that love is the greatest motivator. I can look around this room and there's a lot of people here who I genuinely would do pretty much anything for because I love you. So we understand that. We understand this idea of doing anything for people that we love. But that is blown completely out of the water by Jesus Christ. I don't know if you're familiar with the book of Hosea, but God tells this guy, Hosea, to go and marry a prostitute. And that is just such a weird thing for God to ask someone to do. But Hosea is told to, even when she goes off to sleep with other men, he is told to go and pursue her. And it's not just God being weird, it's him showing us how much he loves us. He pursues us. Even when we're like, do you know what, God? I don't care. I don't care. He pursues us. He loves us that much that he pursues us. He humiliated himself for us to demonstrate his love for us. And we kick him in the teeth in response. And yet he pursues us. That is God's love. We think of the prodigal son. Classic. When the son is coming home, the father's already there. When the son's still a long way off, the father goes and runs. It's undignified. Men didn't run in that court. You all know that. You've all heard a billion sermons on the prodigal son. I don't need to go into it. That's God's love. He pursues us. He runs after us. And when we come with our little speech that tries to, you know, oh God, please have me back. Oh, I'll just be your servant. He's like, shut up. Have a rope. Have a ring. Let's have a party. Because he loves us. This humiliation, this humility that Jesus displays here, making himself nothing, coming as a baby, I still can't wrap my mind around it. It's that he would humiliate himself that much out of love for us. Is truly incredible. It's outrageous. It doesn't make any sense in our understanding. But it is the best news that you will ever hear. I guarantee you. I've tried to live other ways. I tried really hard. But But I had to come back to Jesus because it's such good news. There's a quote I read the other day from a guy called Judah Smith, who is an absolute legend, and his book's on the bookstore. Jesus loves us right now, just as we are. He isn't standing aloof, yelling at us to climb out of our pits and clean ourselves up so we can be worthy of him. He is wading waist deep into the muck of life, weeping with the broken, rescuing the lost, and healing the sick. And that just perfectly encapsulates this passage that we're looking at today. How much, the extent that Christ was willing to go to out of love for us is absolutely incredible. It is unparalleled. It would be easy for me to just say, so, let's be humble like Christ. Not that behaviour modification doesn't really work. I don't know if you've ever tried it, but it lasts for about 2 weeks and then you feel just worse afterwards. The amazing thing is that it's not about what we do. It's about what Jesus has done for us and trusting in that and living in that and embracing that. Look to Jesus. Acknowledge him as Lord. Embrace his love and his grace. And when you do that, you receive the Holy Spirit. So you have God dwelling with you, in you, changing you, and transforming you. We saw at the in verse 1, if you have any encouragement of being united with Christ, if you're trusting in Jesus, you're united with him. You're one with him. Let him transform your heart's desires before you start trying to modify your behaviour. And when you look to him, when you recognise his incredible grace, honestly, you won't be motivated to kind of use that as a get-out-of-hell-free card. When you've actually experienced and encountered God's incredible grace, it will only motivate you to look to Jesus more. And out of that will come things like humility. And that incredible love from which humility grows. Just incredible, incredible love. Completely unparalleled. We love the verse, to live is Christ, to die is gain. My prayer is that as a church family, that will be true for us. To live would be Christ. That as we encounter him, as we embrace the incredible grace that he has bestowed on us at his own expense. I mean, if this is an expense, I don't know what is. If we have encountered that and received God's Holy Spirit, we will be transformed. And we will have the same mindset as Christ Jesus in our relationships. To live is Christ. But I can't leave it there, because it's not just about the humility. So I'm sorry, whoever's preaching next week, I can't remember who. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. After humility comes exaltation. And believe it or not, it says in the Bible, it says it in Daniel 7 and then throughout in various places, that one day we are going to be reigning with Christ. Now that sounds ridiculous and that sounds heretical, but it's not. If we are trusting in Christ and being transformed by his grace resting in his love, and being transformed to become more loving and more humble. We're not just going to live a life of humility and degradation, although there will be a time of that, sometimes more than others. But there is something even greater coming. And that's the real deal. This is great. I love life. Life is great here. But life with Jesus in his presence, reigning with him, I mean, what the heck? Like, my mind is blown. Absolutely phenomenal. I haven't written down a reference, but it said somewhere in the Bible, I'm thinking Proverbs, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Might be Psalms. I don't know. It's in there. Because God is a gracious God, he could easily just keep us in that state of degradation and he wouldn't be any less loving. But he delights to shower grace upon grace upon grace. And we get a bit uncomfortable with that because we like to achieve and we like to be able to compare ourselves so we know where we're at. But just embrace it. Just embrace God's grace. I heard a really good quote recently. I'm going to butcher it. But it's about grace. You know how some people are really bad at hugging? Like they don't know what to do if you hug them. So we often, when we're shown grace, it's like we don't know what to do with it. Like we can't hug back. We're just like, okay, what's going on here? But we need to learn to just hug back. Rest in God's grace. Not just say, oh, I'm saved by God's grace, but I'm just going to keep actually, you know, behaviour modification. Oh, I screwed up again. Okay, come back to Jesus. Oh, I'm such a sinner. Oh, I'm such a horrible sinner. Lord, please take me back. And he's just going to be like, shut up. I don't want your acceptance, your little acceptance speech. You're my child. Get in here. Just embrace his grace. It's as simple as that. But it's life-changing. And so in order to emulate this humility, I say it every week, just look to Jesus, man. Look to Jesus and his grace and his love. Embrace it. Bask in it. Enjoy it. And let him change you and motivate you to love and humility. That's me. Jesus. Always Jesus. As a church, he needs to be our vision. Just look to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as a church of many intelligent and successful people, it is so easy to fall into the trap of achievement and trying to earn our way into your kingdom and trying to work for an identity that is already ours. Please help us to look to you and your outrageous love and grace and the humility that flows from that and the exaltation that comes after that, and to just bask in it, acknowledge it, believe it, embrace it, and allow you by your Holy Spirit to transform us into loving, humble people who will one day reign with Christ. It's just such unbelievably good news. Thank you, Lord. You're such an incredible God, such an amazing Saviour. please work in our hearts this evening to see you afresh as you truly are. In your love and your grace. And I pray these things in your name. Amen.